Thanks, and we're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay.
Good morning.
General Treasurer Seth Magaziner, with an appeal filed now in the settlement of the state pension overhaul, which was approved just last month by a Superior Court judge, what's your take on the likelihood that the Supreme Court will take up this case?
Well, I'm not going to attempt to predict what the Supreme Court might do, but I do know what our office is going to do. We are going to continue to implement the pension deal that was agreed to. It's a good deal that's important for the state. We need to get this deal finalized, and we need to move on. We've got big economic challenges in Rhode Island, and we can't be bogged down in the disputes of the past. So we're going to go ahead, implement the pension deal. Those folks who are retirees in the system, they're getting their 2% cost of living adjustment this month. They're going to get a $500 check in the mail, a stipend next month, and all the other changes we'll put into effect. And we will defend the reform and the settlement deal in court if need be. And I have a lot of confidence in the state's case.
Does anything, though, about this deal give you pause? I mean, what keeps you up at night?
Honestly, at this point, we're mostly focused on the implementation. People don't realize that once you have a deal, it falls on our office to make the changes go into effect, and it's a lot of work. The original pension reform in 2011, I'm told, it took the office almost 2 years to implement all the changes. We don't think it'll take us that long to make these new changes for the pension deal, but we want to make sure that we get those in effect as smoothly as possible. No mistakes, no glitches. We haven't had any so far. So at this point, our main focus in the office is on the nuts and bolts operations of making the changes go into effect.
Now, the state pension overhaul aside, what's your take on the condition of local municipal pensions at this point?
It's a mixed bag. There are some communities that are in excellent financial health, and there are others that are really struggling. Our office stands ready to assist any municipality that is having difficulty with their pension system or their finances in general. We have a lot of expertise in the treasurer's office, having been through our own pension reform ourselves. But, you know, community to community, there really is no hard and fast rule. It's a mixed bag.
Well, Providence keeps making their pension payments late. That's not a good practice, is it, Treasurer?
It's a practice that is, I would say, unorthodox and frowned upon. But I'm glad that Mayor Alorza has said that they're going to shift away from that practice over the next few years. Don't forget that Mayor Alorza himself is a trained accountant. He has a very good team at City Hall, and they just came into office a few months ago. So I think you're going to see a shift away from that practice in the future.
What can or should the state do, though, to help some of these underfunded local pension funds?
Again, it depends on the particular situation.
Well, look, your predecessor, Treasurer, then Treasurer, now Governor Raimondo, refused what Governor Chafee wanted to do, was extend the enabling legislation to the cities and towns so they could forge pension reform similar to what the state did. Would you be in favor of that? I mean, 33 cities and towns signed on to former Governor Chafee's idea, and the treasurer refused to go along with it. Was that a good idea?
You know, I think that we need to take a hard look at what we can do to help the cities and towns that have pension problems. Remember, not all communities in Rhode Island have pension problems, but some certainly do. My main focus when it comes to pensions these first 6 months of the year have been, first of all, getting a deal for the state pension litigation, getting that behind us. We succeeded at that. I'm also always focused on getting the best possible investment performance that we can for the state pension system. We're off to a good start there. The January through May numbers look good. But now that we're heading into the summer, I am reaching out to municipalities to offer our assistance and see what we can do, what solutions we can come up with together to help the municipalities who are struggling.
President Barack Obama is getting pushback on his nomination of Mary Jo White as chairwoman of the Securities and Exchange Commission. Critics say she's too close to Wall Street to regulate it. As one of the state treasurers who has pushed for more mandated disclosures from corporations, Seth Magaziner, what do you make of these criticisms?
Well, I think that the SEC needs to get tougher, not just on companies that are publicly listed companies, but also on some of the funds that are out there. You know, for example, many of the private equity funds and hedge funds that are operating in this country are doing so under very loose requirements for transparency and disclosure. As part of the Transparent Treasury Initiative that we launched a couple months ago, I made a commitment that I was going to go around the country and gather signatures of other state treasurers to ask the SEC for tougher disclosure policies for investments. And it's been going well, and I expect that we're going to announce soon that we have a number of participants on that letter.
I'm pretty sure I know where you're coming from on this one, but Why do you think it is that Bernie Sanders is drawing thousands and thousands of people all around the country, bigger crowds than anyone expected, raising more money and generating a lot of buzz on the liberal side of the party?
Well, I think it's because people are frustrated with the growing income inequality in America, and Senator Sanders has a narrative that is very much based around that. I'm also glad that Secretary Clinton, who I am supporting for president, she's also been addressing these issues. She came out with an early version of an economic plan this past week that was very progressive and that I think addressed a lot of those issues of income inequality, the same ones that Bernie Sanders has been talking about.
Looking at the economy, do you think it's a good idea to move the Pawtucket Red Sox from Pawtucket to Providence? I mean, really, if you look at the whole state, economic activity, you're only moving this 6 miles. Is this a good investment in public money for Rhode Island?
You know, like most Rhode Islanders, my first choice would be to keep the team where it is in Pawtucket. I was at McCoy a few weeks ago. It's a great location and a great place to watch a game. I don't know how realistic that is. I think it's good that the General Assembly and the governor decided to hold off on rushing into any new deal during the session and are going to take some time to really sit down with the owners and see what can be negotiated. My first choice would be for them to stay in Pawtucket. I don't know if that can happen or not, but I'm glad that we're not rushing into anything.
Providence just this week announced a new economic development director, and I'm curious what your take is on what the city can do, if not a new PASOC stadium. What can the city of Providence do to boost economic development?
Well, I think there's a lot of promise in the 195 land. This is a great location, not only because it's downtown, but it's right off the highway. I mean, there's a lot going for it there, and I'm glad that we've seen some initial interest, not just from stadiums, but also from employers who might be bringing research and higher wage jobs to that location. But again, there's no silver bullet. I think that the city of Providence certainly has its financial challenges, but I do think that Mayor Lorza has a good team in place, and I'm optimistic that we can move forward together.
You talk about our high electricity rates, but why aren't we importing more renewable Canadian hydropower?
It's a good question, and I think that all options have to be on the table.
But National Grid doesn't like this.
Yeah. Well, listen, at the end of the day, we have to do what's right for Rhode Island. We do have some of the highest energy costs in the country. We're not a fossil fuel producer. We never are going to be. And we also have one of the lowest rates of renewable energy use as a percentage of our total energy mix of any state.
Which seems like you're arguing for Canadian hydropower.
Well, I think that all options have to be explored.
General Treasurer Seth Magaziner, could you ever see yourself running for governor?
I'm really happy where I am. You can do a lot of great things as treasurer. I hope that if I get to the next election, that I'll be running for re-election and folks will see fit to return me to this job. But first things first, I'm focused on what I'm doing now. We've gotten a lot done so far and we got to keep going.
Well, thank you so much for speaking with us today, Rhode Island's General Treasurer Seth Magaziner.
Thanks for having me.
And Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay, thanks to you.
Thank you, Elizabeth.